Chapter 7, Trouble for Jim.
After the king and the duke returned, the king was very angry with the duke. He thought the duke stole the bag of money and put it in the coffin. The duke thought the same thing about the king. I was happy because that meant they didn't think I did it. After their return, life got quite difficult for the king and the duke. They couldn't make any money in their usual dishonest ways. Things got worse and worse for them. Jim and I became worried because the two of them often whispered to each other. They didn't want us to hear what they said to each other. I didn't say anything to Jim, but I was sure they wanted to sell Jim back into slavery. They knew people could get a lot of money for a runaway slave. I soon found out I was right. One morning, I came back to our camp and saw that Jim was gone. I knew the king and the duke were in a nearby town. They went there to make some money. I felt so sorry that Jim was gone. I decided to go to the village to try to find out where Jim was. On my way to the village, I saw a boy on the road. I stopped and asked him, "Did you see a black man around here?"
"Yes, he's a runaway slave, and they took him to Phelps Farm, about 2 miles from here," answered the boy.
"Who gave him up?" I asked.
"An old man. He got $40 for him," answered the boy.
I decided to go straight to Phelps Farm. I didn't know how I could free Jim again, but I knew I had to try. I got to the farm and looked around. It was a sunny, hot day. The farm was a cotton plantation with a white wooden fence around it. I climbed over the fence and walked to the house. I didn't know what to say, but I would think of something. Suddenly, a woman came out of the house. I thought, "She must be Mrs. Phelps, and she's running right over here. Oh no, what can I do?" But I didn't have time to think of anything because she ran right to me and gave me a big hug.
"Oh, you're here at last," said the woman.
Then she added,
"Let me look at you, dear nephew."
I didn't know what to say, so I just stood there.
"Oh, don't be so shy, Tom. It's not at all like the Sawyers to be shy,"
she said, laughing. I couldn't believe my ears. So the Phelps family expected Tom Sawyer to arrive. How could it be? Now I really didn't know what to do, so I just smiled and said, "Yes, it's really me, Mrs. Phelps."
"Oh, you can call me Aunt Sally. After all, I am your aunt," she said.
We went into the house together, and I met Uncle Silas. I was so happy they thought I was Tom Sawyer. It wasn't difficult for me to pretend to be Tom, because I knew all about him. I told them all about Tom's Aunt Polly and his brother Sid. Aunt Sally and Uncle Silas both believed I was Tom. Suddenly, I heard a steamboat on the river. I thought, "Oh no, maybe Tom is on that steamboat now and he's coming here. I must make up an excuse to leave so I can tell him what happened." I looked at Aunt Sally and said, "I have to go back into town to get my suitcase. It was too heavy to carry all the way here."
"Your Uncle Silas can take you on our wagon," said Aunt Sally.
"Thanks, but I know how to drive the horses," I answered. So I got on the wagon and started for the town. Halfway there, I saw Tom Sawyer on the road. His mouth fell open when he saw me. "You must be a ghost, because you're supposed to be dead," he cried. "No, you can see that I'm not dead," I answered. "Then what are you doing here?" asked Tom. "There's not much time to explain. Just get on the wagon and let's go to your Aunt Sally's house. I'll tell you everything on our way there," I answered. So Tom got on the wagon with me. I started to tell him all about my adventures. But suddenly, we saw lots of people down the road. They walked past us, and we saw something horrible. They had tarred and feathered the king and the duke. I knew those two were very bad men, but I still felt sorry for them.